Okay, thank you very much. Thanks for staying for the last talk of the day. I'm sure everybody wants to be out in this beautiful sunshine we have instead of sticking around to hear me. Today, I'll be talking about graph searching. Most of you have probably seen this already. Most of you probably haven't thought too much of it since your undergrad days. But there's some interesting things that graph search can accomplish, and this work will show us how we can get a better understanding of what graph search is and how we can use it to answer some more complicated questions. So this work is joint with Derek Corneal. So first question is, what is graph search? Everybody probably has a good answer to that, and I promise this will be the only algorithm you see. So what's the idea behind graph search? Well, first, we pick some vertex in the graph to start from. We need to start somewhere, so pick somewhere. And then what we'll do is we'll find a neighbor of some vertex that we've already visited and visit it. And we'll keep doing that as long as we can. If we get stuck, i.e., there's more than one component in the graph, we'll just have to start over, pick some other vertex, and continue. So we've all know what basically what's going on with this. There's a little bit of choice that has to be taken here in the second step. In general, there's going to be many different vertices that you might choose to visit next. And so the question becomes, how do you pick the next vertex, or how do you pick an edge to follow? There's lots of different answers to this. Two of them you're probably very familiar with, something like depth-first search or breadth-first search. So maybe you want to pick a vertex that's adjacent to the latest vertex that you've seen, something that's very recent. That's going to be a depth-first search idea. Or maybe you want to pick something that's adjacent to something that's very early in what you've seen before, in which case that's going to be a breadth-first search. There's a few other ideas that are out there. One that's been used and has been determined to be very powerful search is what's called lexicographic breadth-first search. And there, instead of just picking a vertex that's adjacent to the earliest vertex I can, I want to pick a next vertex to visit that's adjacent to as many of those early vertices as possible in general. There's other options as well. Maybe you want to pick it so that it's adjacent to lots of vertices. That's going to be the maximum cardinality search idea. So what do you do once you've done a search of the graph? Well, it's going to produce an ordering. And the search ordering itself is going to have certain properties based on what the structure of the graph is that you've done your search on. Here's a sample graph, very small, and I can do a generic graph search of this. And for instance, I can do something like 1, 2, 4, and then I can jump over, visit vertex 3, 5, 6. That would be a valid search ordering of the vertices of this graph. Clearly, something that starting at 1 and then jumping all the way over to 5, which is not a neighbor of 1, and then continuing 4, 3, 2, 6, that's not going to be a valid search ordering. So the question is, what's going to be a valid search ordering, and can we characterize what orderings are going to work? What orderings can I actually find from graph search? So I think about this for a little while, and what's the bad thing that I did here that I didn't do up here? Well, I jumped ahead here. 1, 5, 4, that's a bad idea because I have an edge, 1, 5, 4, 3, 2, 6, that's a bad idea because I've jumped 5 when I should have picked something like 3 instead. So I have an edge between 1 and 3, but not an edge between 1 and 5. And it turns out this is the only bad thing that I can do. So, in this picture, I've jumped over, I've selected a vertex B that's not got an edge between A and B when I should have picked C instead. So graph search says pick a vertex that's next to something I've already seen instead of something that's not. So this is the problem that we've had. And the question that I ask is, how could you have chosen B before C. You should have picked C first. And sometimes there's a good reason for being able to do this. If we look at our valid search ordering, there's no edge between 1 and 4, but there is an edge between 1 and 3, but I picked 4 before 3. Why is that allowed in this ordering, but wasn't allowed in the other ordering? And a moment of thought, you've probably already all answered this, is that there was another vertex that I haven't talked about yet. There's a vertex D that was chosen, that was visited before I picked B, such that it was adjacent to B, and thus allowed me to choose B over C. Surprising thing might be is that this is a characterization of all graph search orderings. Every graph search ordering will have this property that is, have vertices A, B, and C. There's going to be some vertex D. And likewise, if I have any ordering that has that property, I can always find it by a graph search if I choose it in the proper direction. So that's all well and good. Who cares about graph search, right? What about something that's a little bit harder, like, say, breadth first search? As it turns out, we'll get a very similar answer. Breadth first search, for those of you who might not know it, that's going to visit all the vertices such that the neighbors of a vertex are always explored as soon as possible. So a valid breadth first search ordering of this graph would be something like 1, 2, 3, and then 4, 5, 6. We've all seen that. And we can ask the same question, well, what happens if I have this bad picture? I have vertices A, B, and C such that it looks like I should have picked C before B. And the answer is, well, this is a graph search, so it's going to have the same, we're going to have a D somewhere coming into this, but where is this D going to be located? And this is what the difference is for breadth first search. This vertex D, this neighbor of B, must be not only before B itself, but it must have been chosen before A. That's roughly saying that B had to get pushed onto the stack no later than C did, if you want to use the stack idea for the algorithm. So we're not making any statements as to whether C was adjacent to D. All that I know is that its first neighbor of C must have been no later than D. So this is all well and simple. And it turns out that this is a characterization of all orderings that are breadth first search vertex orderings as well. Question is, well, what happens when that DC edge might not be there? It could be there, but what if we're saying there's no way that that edge can be there? And then we get an algorithm that's called lexicographic breadth first search. Lexicographic breadth first search says something like, choose a vertex that has lexicographically maximum label. How do I find these labels? Well, each time I visit a vertex, I'm going to add n minus I, a digit n minus I, to all of its neighbors. So, one such ordering that's a lexicographic breadth first search ordering would be 1, 2, 3, 5, 4, 6. How do I get that? Well, I start from 1. Its neighbors are going to be 2, 3. There's 6 vertices in the graph. I'm going to send label 5 to each of its neighbors. Pick something that has maximal label. Well, 2 has maximum label. So it's going to send 4 to its neighbors. 4, 4, 4. Now, what has lexicographically maximum label of the vertices that haven't been visited yet? Well, now I have to choose 3. It's going to send its values over. Then I have to pick 5. It's going to send 2 to its neighbors. And then I have to pick 4 and 6. So that's basically how lexicographic breadth first search works. Characterization of the orderings that can be found by LexBFS is precisely DC is not an edge, in addition to it being a breadth first search. Remarkable thing is, this property has been known for quite some time. It was proven by Branshaw, Drag, and Nikolai in 97 that this is a characterization of LexBFS orderings. And this property has been exploited in many different algorithms for finding, say, recognition of graph classes, to find certain structures in graphs. And it's been very useful in finding actually multiple sweep algorithms, which I'll mention a little bit later. So this is a very powerful property. It's being used extensively. And it's really the inspiration of why we want to look at the characterizations for graph searches, because it's such a powerful tool in existence. So that's breadth first search. The question that you naturally ask after this is, what about depth first search? That's the other traditional search algorithm out there. Can we say something along the same lines? And the answer turns out to be yes. What is depth first search? Well, we're going to visit a vertex that's adjacent to something I've seen most recently. So a valid depth first search would be something like 1, 2, and then 4, 5, 6, 3 would be a possible ordering. Asking the same question, what happens in this odd case when it looks like I should have had to pick B before C? And a few moments of thought would give you the answer. There's going to be a vertex that's adjacent to B that was seen prior to B, but must have also come after A. So whereas graph search said this vertex, this neighbor of B, just had to be sometime before B, and where breadth first search said it had to be also before A, depth first search is quite the opposite in that it says that, no, actually D has to be between A and B in my vertex ordering. If I have this picture, if I have this property, I know that it's going to be a depth first search, and vice versa. So this actually characterizes all depth first search orderings. Once you know a vertex ordering is a depth first search, you can use properties that you know about depth first search to gain information. So what's the next question that you ask? Well, we've got this very powerful search, LexBFS, that's been used extensively. We've got a very similar picture here for depth first search. Can we do the same thing to breadth first search to get LexBFS to the depth first search idea? And the answer is yes. What does that mean? Looks like I've got a typo here. Sorry, this D should be in the middle there, of course. So, the idea of LexDFS is going to be very similar to what the LexBFS idea was. Whereas LexBFS algorithm says, assign labels and pick lexicographically maximum labels, and the digits that you're sending out each time you visit the vertex is n minus I. For lexicographic depth first search, we want to say, well, send label I. Why do we want to do it the opposite way? Well, because depth first search is, in some sense, opposite to breadth first search. Breadth first search, if you're seen early, that takes precedence. Depth first search, if you are seen late in what you've done so far, that's going to take your preference there. So, remarkably, this is a new algorithm. And it's very close to what LexBFF algorithm would be. And it has the right flavor of what the search should be. This is an example of what Lex graphic depth first search looks like. Here's our favorite example again. Whereas LexBFF said, do the levels, 1, 2, 3, 5, 4, 6, lexicographic depth-first search would say, keep close to a lot of vertices, but let's do it in a depth-first manner. So the way that I'd run this would be, start at 1 again, send 1 to its neighbors, pick something that's lexicographically maximum. 2 satisfies that. Send its number to its neighbors. Pick something that's lexicographically maximum. You've got 2, 1. Is going to be lexicographically maximum of everything, so I have to visit 3 next. It's going to send 3 to its neighbors. Pick 5. It's going to send its number, which is 4, to its neighbors. And then we have to pick 6, whereas breadth first search had to pick 4. So that's going to be the fundamental difference. This is going to be depth first search of any graph. Not every depth-first search is a lexicographic depth-first search. For example, the depth-first search example we used before is not going to work. And it's going to be different from what lexicographic breadth-first search was. One of the interesting things, though, is that it's going to do a lot of the same things that lexicographic breadth-first search did. Lexicographic breadth-first search was originally designed to find perfect elimination orderings of chordal graphs. Lexicographic depth-first search will do the same thing. It'll find you perfect elimination ordering as well. Okay, so where are we now? Here's a nice summary. This is what we've seen so far. Lexicographic breadth-first search has been characterized, its characterization has been known, and we have very similar, very simple characterizations for all these other searches. Graph search in general, breadth-first search, depth-first search, the common traditional search algorithms, and we've been able to answer what lexicographic depth-first search would look like. It's one question that I haven't answered yet. And that's what happens when I apply that same restriction that I used to get from breadth first search LexBFS to graph search itself. So what happens when I take graph search, which says this D just has to be before B, and say, well, and also D must not be an edge. DC must not be an edge. And it turns out the answer is very straightforward and gives us a new search, maximal neighborhood search. So how does maximal neighborhood search work? Well, at each point when I select a vertex to visit next, I want to pick a vertex that has a maximal neighborhood over all the options I can pick. That's exactly the same thing that I did for LexBFS, LexDFS. It was always going to be something that was lexicographically maximum. This just generalizes it, weakens that a little bit, saying, well, you don't have to be either breadth first search or depth first search. It just has to have a maximal neighborhood. So, for example, 1, 2, 3, 5, I'm forced. Now I can choose either 4 or 6. Maybe I choose 4. And then the neighborhood of 6 is maximal, I can choose 6, then I can choose 8, then I can come back to 7 if I want. That would be an example. And that's not going to be a depth first LexDFS or a LexBFS, as it turns out. So we have this brand new search. Imagine our surprise when we find out that things have already been proven about this search. Even though no one's looked at this search before, there's already stuff that's known. And it turns out that Tarjan and Yannakakis in 84 used exactly that property that I just showed you to prove that LexBFS or maximum cardinality search, which I mentioned earlier, found a perfect elimination ordering of a graph if the graph was chordal. I'm not going to go into details what that means, but it's actually been seen before and has certain proofs about it. As it turns out, this maximum neighborhood search is a very nice generalization of the ideas behind LexBFS and really gets to the heart of what's going on. Not only does it find perfect elimination orderings, it also finds minimal triangulations. It also finds extremal vertices. It finds minimal separators in a graph. It's really an interesting search and generalizes a lot of the results that are already known in these other areas. So that's our summary. I promised a hierarchy. This is the hierarchy. We've managed to characterize what vertex orderings you can get from every type of search that you can think of. Right from the generic search, the most basic graph search that I showed you on the first slide, to the breadth first search, depth first search, the dichotomy there, depending where this vertex D must be in relation to that A. And then we've got this new class of vertices, the maximum neighborhood searches here, that include LexBFS, LexDFS. So now what do you do with this? Since I'm out of time, I'm not going to show you what. But I'll give you a few hints. This is only one way to unify our look at what graph search really is. Graph search has been around since people were solving mazes in the 1800s and has been used in just about any area of computer science or combinatorics or anything that has some type of graph representation. We have some new algorithms that has some desirable properties that can be useful for proving things about these problems. There might be other types of really useful classes, like the maximal neighborhood search turns out to be. They can fit in either into these very simple four vertex characterizations I've been talking about, or now that we have a unified way of looking at the algorithms, maybe there's a different way, maybe with this labeling idea that I was touching on for the lexicographic breadth first search and depth first search algorithms. One of the interesting things that has shown, that we've seen to be very useful for LexBFS, is that you can actually get multiple sweep algorithms and prove things about it very easily. So not only do I have just one sweep of the graph, get a vertex ordering, but use that vertex ordering to do another search of the graph, maybe starting from where I ended, and collect more information. That's been very successful in a number of areas. Now we can have the tools, we have the ability to actually extend this to other types of searches that might be more appropriate for different problem domains. So on just that, this is very exciting work, and I hope all of you will take this home and come up with some nice results. So I'm just going to stop there and take any questions that you might have. Oh, you're absolutely right. You're going to have abilities to analyze what's going to happen in the complement of the graph. The direct answer to your question is, I don't know yet. That's a very interesting question, and I'd like to know the answer, yes.